When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Odell Beckham Jr. made the catch with one hand for the touchdown. Wow, what a catch by the rookie.
Ridiculous.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
If that line falls,
nah, I'm not saying
on the right
not today. I mean, I'm not going to go crazy like most of you, but I'm not happy.
Back in town.
No, I can't do it. I wanted to. Just like Verdugo. I didn't want a bunch.
Look out, old Mac is back.
All right, let's go.
Chris McMichael. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
Yeah. 202, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. Got you for 3 hours till the warm-up show comes your way. Alex on the other side. We're taking your phone calls at 888-808-1019. And yeah, the Yankees embarrassed themselves, right? I mean, look, everyone's going to say it. I don't think it's the worst loss of the season. I think you're crazy if you think it's the worst loss of the season. They fell down in Baltimore with an opportunity to take a lead in the division. I can think of 3 games against the Red Sox that pissed me off more than last night. But it's a disgusting one. It's an ugly one. It's an embarrassing one. And you know what? I'm going to lean into a little bit of Aaron Boone here as well, which is going to surprise some of you. But we're going to start here with what actually happened in the game. And you just heard the highlights from Aaron Boone, obviously, as they lose to the White Sox 12-2. The largest margin of victory for the White Sox all year, which is not surprising because they are literally on pace to be the worst team in the history of baseball. So make no mistake, it is embarrassing, right? And I know if that's enough to make you consider it the worst loss of the season, I'm not going to argue with you. I really don't care. For me, when with an opportunity to win, be in the lead in the division right before the All-Star break, and they're literally blowing easy ground balls and falling down in the outfield. That one hurt me more than this, but that's okay. It is ugly. It's embarrassing watching them pound the Yankees and take a close game and absolutely open it up, which we've seen, I don't know, a dozen times in the last 2 weeks. And the obvious matter-of-fact nature that the bullpen is in shambles at the moment is not lost on anyone. But I just heard the comment from Aaron Boone in the postgame about how the offense wasn't the problem. The offense was 100% the problem. All right? This offense that has been better over the last couple of weeks, that has been scoring runs, six, seven runs a clip pretty much, that has changed since Jazz Chisholm has been traded here. And obviously he goes down with the elbow injury on an incredible heads-up base running play that he made in this game. We'll get to that as well. And that's probably the most important thing to come out of this game, whether or not Jazz Chisholm is healthy. But the fact of the matter is, this Yankee offense that has been better went 2-for-18 with runners in scoring position just last night. The Mets went 2-for-18 runners in scoring position in an entire series against Seattle in one evening. The New York Yankees went 2-for-18 with runners in scoring position. They had 9 hits and 11 walks. 11 walks! They had 20 base runners and are only capable of scoring 2 runs, and one of them needs to be on an infield single where Jazz Chisholm makes a heads-up base running play, just gets his hand in the through the catcher's legs and touches home plate and ends up getting hurt on it. That's how you have to score your second run when you have 9 hits and 11 walks. And you knew it in the first 2 innings of this game, really the first inning of this game. You can see when these things, like the Yankees, we talk about, I know the fans say, and sometimes it's overblown, right? Oh, thank God they lost the other day because the streak would have ended against the Yankees, or, you know, all the other pessimistic crap that comes with being a Yankee fan these days. I get it. But there is no doubt sometimes you have a feeling about this team, and particularly, other than maybe the first series against Houston, right? Other than that, maybe that first real stretch. And I know the first 2.5 months were good. But really, like early on, it felt like they were going to come back in these games. And if they struggled early on, the first game in particular, right, opening day, right away, runners in scoring position, can't get it done, find a way to come through and win a game. That has not been the Yankees for these last couple of years, and it continues to not be the Yankees this season. And you know, when the first two guys get on from a walk, Judge laces the double down the line, scores a run, and you have second and third, nobody out. And you get Stanton to pop up, who, by the way, right? Let's start just taking them one by one here. Because Stanton, who over the last two games of the Texas series, got all of us talking about how he's back. The swings were great, even in outs, he was hitting line drives, having good at-bats. He was awful in this game. And swung at that typical, like, I thought he was past, or at least in a better groove, than swinging at breaking balls in the dirt to some of the worst pitchers in baseball, and one of the worst pitching staffs in all of baseball history. I thought he was at least past that, and he was swinging at stuff in the ground I couldn't believe. But you knew in the first inning, when you get a pop-up from Stanton, a pop-up from Wells, who we've been praising here over the last couple of days, for sure, even more than that, that they've stabilized the cleanup position. They've stabilized it. And in this game, that first inning, and then again in the second, and you get three straight pop-ups right in the first. Second and third, already a run in. Judge comes through with the double. You got this young kid on the ropes, couldn't throw a strike to save his life. Gets pop-up from Stanton, pop-up from Wells, pop-up from Torres. And you just felt it, that like that moment was going to cost the New York Yankees. Then, of course, you get to Luis Gil, who had nothing. We'll talk more about Luis Gil as we get through the show, 888-808-1019. He's been coming off a good stretch, terrible in this game. Every time he pitches poorly, his innings limits are going to be discussed. We're going to have to talk about whether or not he should be moved to the bullpen, especially as we continue to watch the bullpen do what they do. But when he gives up two runs in the top of the first, and then the same thing happens in the second inning, I understand they put a lot of guys on, right? And that's why I'll fight you or argue with you if you're going to tell me they were lifeless, or you're going to tell me that they didn't, like, and I'm listening to the calls with Keith. I love all the people telling me, I find it hilarious. I love all the people telling me they play down to their competition. You see this? They don't get up for these games. They don't care about these games. Whenever they play bad teams, they don't care. The first 2 months, all we heard was their fantastic record was built on beating bad teams. That's all we heard. This fantastic record is BS. It's not real. It's built on beating bad teams. The only teams the Yankees can beat are bad teams. Now they lose and they play down to their competition. Here's the bottom line. Don't freaking lose. Here's the bottom line. When the Yankees play poorly, they lose to everybody. When they play great, they beat everybody. That's who they are. That's who they've been. That's how, despite being disastrous for the last 2 months, they find themselves with this going into tonight, the most wins and the best record in all of Major League Baseball, or at least tied for it. That's how they found it. Because they played great for a stretch, they played miserably for a stretch. So I really don't want to hear about playing down to opponent or anything else, because the first 2 months, all they did was beat bad teams, and we used it against them. So I don't want to hear that. But it's also tough for me to take, oh, they don't care. There are lifeless games. This Yankee team has shown it to you. The lifeless games against the Mets with Jones leading off and J.D. Davis hitting cleanup. It is not lifeless. When you put 20 guys on, it is not lifeless when you get 9 hits. It is not lifeless when you consistently have opportunities. You know what it is? The inability to come through in the moment. Plain and simple. And it's just as important as anything else, and has come back to bite them in as many situations as anything else has over the last few years. And whether you end the game, you take it back to the last game, and the way Gleyber Torres couldn't even field a ground ball because he was so afraid of the moment. And then you get to a spot where this stuff starts to manifest itself. And when you don't come through in the first, then you don't come through in the second. And then you don't come through in the fourth. And let's get to the fourth inning as well. As Volpe and LeMahieu lead off the inning with walks, and up comes Verdugo. Verdugo, who's been the leadoff hitter now, even against lefty hitters, who has been doing much better, who did throw out a runner at the plate. Like, the other thing, like, the Yankees played good defense in this game. The Yankees threw two runners out at the plate. This game was about strictly the inability in the moment to come through with a good at bat. And they grip the bat so freaking tight, and you can sense it. If you can sense it at home, I promise you, they sense it in the dugout. And it's been the same crap this team has experienced a lot. Now, the offense has been coming through over the last few weeks. This game was the at-bats when the runners were in scoring position were atrocious. None worse than the absolute worst at-bat of the season from Verdugo in this game in the fourth inning. First two guys on with walks at the bottom of the lineup. The top of the order is coming up. This guy just walked two guys. He's walked already six in the first four innings. And Verdugo wants to lay down a bunt. And he pops it up. I've never in my life been so frustrated at what are you thinking? What are you thinking? And we're going to get back to the bunt in just a second. But that is the worst at bat I have ever seen. That is scared. We have seen that from this offense. I thought we were behind it. The offense, that's scared. He pulled the same crap against the Mets, bunting into when he was hitting eighth because he was in the midst of his horrendous batting slump a few weeks ago. And he bunted into the bottom of the lineup and backup catchers. That's your moment, Verdugo. Take it. You're lucky enough the manager decided to put you leadoff. Take it. Bunting is crap in that spot. It's a scared move. It's let Soto do the damage. It's let somebody else do it. And it's bad baseball. And the Yankees have been playing a ton of it, even while the offense has gotten better, because really the problem is, I understand Boone's comments, the problem is the pitching here, they couldn't get anybody out, the bullpen's in a wreck, and that's really why this game gets out of hand. I know we're going to go nuts about losing by 10 runs to the White Sox, and I understand, it's embarrassing, I'm embarrassed by it. It's going to be talked about throughout you know, ESPN, and it's going to be a story, oh, the White Sox have won one of their last 25 games, and they beat the Yankees by 10, it's the however many loss by 10 runs the Yankees have had over the last week, blah, 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 blah. Honestly, blah, blah, blah. I don't care about the score. What happened was the bullpen's in complete disarray, and he allowed a pitcher to go out there who had absolutely nothing and gave up five hits to the first five batters, but he had no choice but to leave him in, and he's 100% right. Should Aaron Boone have compromised the bullpen for the next couple of days so that the Yankees lose this game by five runs instead of 10? Aaron Boone handled that situation exactly right. Leave him out there. He's probably going to be designated for assignment because they have no arms. They have to bring somebody up. But that's exactly what you do in these games. And it doesn't matter if it's the White Sox. It doesn't matter if it's the Tigers who's coming up next. It doesn't matter who. When the game is out of hand at that point, he didn't bring him in hoping he'd give up these runs. But once it starts happening, that's it. Because of the ineffectiveness over the Texas Rangers series and the doubleheaders, the bullpen's in disarray. You had your closer have to throw 45 pitches. Leiter threw how many the other day? They use Weaver every other day, and he just had his miserable outing. They didn't want to go to any of those guys. He had to save it, bite the bullet, and lose 12-2. And it's embarrassing. It's ugly. It's going to be mocked at. Here's the ultimate point of the matter, right? And here's the real crux of the whole thing. They lost the game. That's it. They lost the game. Now, it's ugly, and they should be embarrassed by it. And I'm going to get into some of the quotes, especially from Verdugo, in just a second here. And now the pressure is completely on. I mean, without question, completely on Nestor Cortes tomorrow, because you cannot lose this series. I'm not one. I understand how bad they've been. I get it. I'm not one. They had to win all three games. They played two series against them. They've swept the first one. If they take two out of three and they played this awful White Sox team and played them six times and won five games, you're gonna be embarrassed to be a Yankee fan? You're going to have to turn in your Yankee card? Not going to wear a Yankee hat tomorrow? But they can't lose the series, no doubt. because we talked about this stretch and the teams they're playing and how they have to try and make hay here while they're playing the last place Blue Jays and the awful Angels and the underachieving Texas Rangers and the worst thing we've seen in baseball since 1962 Chicago White Sox. No doubt. It's unacceptable to play the way they played in this game. It's unacceptable to not put your foot on the throat of this team in the first two innings, because that's where you win this game. You win this game by scoring four or five runs in the first two innings and the Chicago White Sox saying, woe is me, here we go again, and not attempting to win the game. Instead, you gave them momentum. Instead, you made them feel, hey, look at this. Our young pitcher got out and got Giancarlo Stanton to pop up and Gleyber Torres to pop up. Hey, we're in this thing. But now let me get to the problem I have with the team overall, because that's the game, right? That's the game. They blew the game not scoring runs. They blew the game not coming through with clutch hits. They had 20 runners on base. They're 2-for-18 with runners in scoring position. That's a series, not a night. It's incredible that they were able to do that. It's actually hard to be that inept offensively. And ultimately, it's one game. They win the next two. I'm fine with losing one game to the White Sox, as ugly it may be. I know a lot of you aren't. I don't care. 5 out of 6, when you, that's how much better? I got to beat them every time? Fine. You say so, whatever. You know, the Cleveland Guardians have lost to them a bunch. I'm not going to get into it. But what I have a problem with is we've talked about the lack of urgency, right? I have to admit, as much as I think Boone handled the game exactly as he should have, He went to the bullpen. He stayed with Santos. He's supposed to in that spot. No problem with it. None. No problem with Verdugo's bunt as far as Boone goes. He is supposed to. These guys are professional athletes. He's a 5-6 year veteran. He's allowed to bunt if he wants to. He has that freedom to audible to see something, to make a play. It's a terrible, atrocious play. It's on Verdugo. But the comment from Verdugo in the postgame could be one of the worst things I've ever heard. And we talk about Aaron Boone and we talk about the lack of urgency. And for me, the urgency at the beginning of the year felt a lot different than it had prior seasons. I talked about this a lot at the start of the year. Other Aprils in the Aaron Boone era have been treated as second spring trainings. They don't push guys at all. Judge gets a bunch of days off. If they win two of the first two games of a series, it's the quote-unquote, which I think is unfair, but I'll just use it for this argument, the punt lineup would come out. If there was an off day, Judge would get the day off before to get the double off day. Like, there was a bunch of let's ease into the season. And I really felt like that mentality changed at the beginning of the year. I really did. I felt like they showed in a bunch of different scenarios where the urgency was different. Judge talked about it specifically at the start of the year. At the end of last year, he talked about how next year from the jump, we need to show more urgency. And I felt like they did that in many, many ways. But the minute the swoon started, the minute they started losing, the same sort of everything will be okay, we're really good, we're the New York Yankees has set in. And as much as I will defend Aaron Boone, the biggest issue I have with Aaron Boone is that on some level, there is too much of that, hey, we're really good. We're going to be fine. Everything's okay. We'll come out of this. We're the New York Yankees. There's too much of that. It's easier when you're in first place. It's easier when you still have the best record in baseball. And I think sometimes we as fans go overboard against it. But that feeling has definitely crept into this team. And in the comments from Alex Verdugo in the postgame, I cannot imagine after that loss, after the way they've been playing, after now being 5-5 in the 10 games against these lousy under 500 teams, including the White Sox, who are as bad as they are, to have the comments that Alex Verdugo had about that bunt, I cannot believe, and if I'm Aaron Boone and I hear this, and I'm going to play it for you now. If I'm Aaron Boone and I hear this, Verdugo's not playing tomorrow. That's how atrocious I think this comment is about the bunt at bat, which is an atrocious at bat. It's a give up at bat. It's a somebody else take care of this at bat. And when he's asked about whether or not it's his call or the manager's call about the bunt, this was his response.
All the bunts are always on me. I gave myself one chance to kind of see one and, you know, try to put a swing on it. Took a strike, and he made a pitch up and in that I kind of didn't really want to bunt, but was already kind of out there and just got a little lazy with it and, you know, popped it up. So, but that's like the first bunt I've ever popped up, so it happens.
In the fourth inning of a game they're losing 2-1 against the White Sox, in an important stretch that the manager has stressed how important this stretch is. They're down 2-1 in the fourth inning. The first two guys are on multiple times in this game already. They had blown the opportunity of scoring with runners on. With runners at first and two runners on, nobody out. Twice it's already happened in this game. This is the fourth inning. Runners in scoring position, nobody on. And you bunted when you didn't really want to bunt. And you admit fully that you kind of got lazy with it. And then chuckle through the idea that it's so rare of you to pop up a bunt that these things happen. I cannot believe that is what Verdugo said to that question. I cannot believe it. And I've decided to do this specifically because I feel like a lot of this stuff can be overblown, and I have kind of not been too concerned about it. But in this game, in that spot, with that at bat, you're going to tell me, well, I didn't really want to bunt, but I did it anyway because I was already out there. Whatever that means. He was already out there bunting. I guess he couldn't pull it back. I have no idea. And I kind of got lazy with it. And you know what? I've never bunted a pop-up put a pop-up off a bunt in my career. So, you know, these things happen. That's the game, Verdugo. That's the game right there in that moment. That's the game. And you got lazy with a bunt and have no problem saying so. That's a problem. I have a problem with that. I'm shocked that's the answer to that question. So you guys want to get on Boone? Today's the day for it, because I don't necessarily think that that's Aaron Boone's fault, because Alex Cora was his manager, and God knows he's the greatest manager who ever lived. He couldn't get through to him. They had to get rid of him. Aaron Boone didn't bring him here. This is a guy who was as important to the start of the season as almost anyone. With the dogs, the swag, it felt like they needed it. He's a gamer. He has that first at bat in Fenway Park. He hits the home run. I'm thinking, you know what? That's a moment right there where he was on the pressure cooker, returning to Fenway, getting the booze, getting, you know, having to deal with it, and he comes through with a home run in that spot. This is the kind of guy you want. That's the kind of moment that shows me, you know what? When the lights are bright, he'll be there. And he's had an awful season under anybody's marks for him. And with the game on the line against one of the worst teams in baseball while you're trying to win a division, yeah, I got lazy with it. It's the first time I ever did it. It happens. That mentality right there is a problem. So we can talk about the game and all the different things that happened and what the ramifications are and where the state of the bullpen is. Then we can talk about Luis Gil. And we could talk about this lineup unable to come through with big hits. And then we can talk about maybe some other issues underlying with this team that are causing it to, even when it's playing better, still have moments and still have games and still have sequences where they cost themselves wins in the manner in which they play. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. We'll get to the Hassan Reddick issue, obviously, as he has now demanded a trade. Got here in April, out in August. We'll see. The Jets have obviously done the only thing they could have done, and Joe Douglas did the only thing he could do and say no. But we'll see where it goes. We'll see who's got the leverage in that situation, how we see it playing out, and what it means for the New York Jets. And, of course, We'll take your calls on your Yankee fan, on your Yankee baseball, as they drop 12-2 in the first game of a three-game set against the Chicago White Sox.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Yeah, that Verdugo quote really is sticking in my craw. Having a real problem with that one. Never mind the idea that he got lazy in a bat with the game online. This wasn't, you know, up 10-0 in the 7th, 8th inning. Now, okay, you get lazy in a bat, you give it a bat away. You guys talk about it every once in a while. I really felt like I gave that at bat away. In that moment, you pull out a bunt and you don't have, like, why you don't want it. He's not even sure if he wants to, like, oh my God. That, I mean, that's the game is on the line in that moment. But having said all that, as angry as I am, as disappointed as I am, as frustrating a loss as that was, and for me, it's more frustrating than embarrassment. You guys get hung up on embarrassing. What's embarrassing? You don't want to, you're not going to wear a Yankee jersey tomorrow? You're going to pretend, you're going to deny if someone says, oh, I know you, you're a Yankee fan. No, not me. Not me. I'm an Arizona Diamondback fan. Yeah, Ketel Marte. He's my guy. Like, what's embarrassing exactly? They lost a game. The Cleveland Guardians lost a series 3 out of 4 to them earlier in the year. Are they unserious? Another term that gets thrown around with the New York Yankees. Are the Guardians unserious because they lost 3 out of 4? To the White Sox earlier in the year? It's a game. It was an ugly one. It's over. It's over. I'm concerned about the bullpen, no doubt. And I, right now, you're waiting on Hamilton. You're waiting on Efros. You're waiting for hopefully this bullpen change because right now it's not good enough. And you got to hope those guys come back. But, yeah, I mean, so I'm concerned at the pitching right now. I mean, Luis Gil's been on a good run. He had a bad start. He's been on a pretty decent run. I'm concerned about tomorrow. Nestor Cortez has a lot of pressure on him. Ever since he put out that tweet, he's been particularly awful. And now he can't go out and be the reason, or at least one of the reasons, in the why they lose 2 out of 3. At that point, it could be getting swept by the White Sox. But, like, we make these wide-ranging ramifications from it that you can't win with this team now. It's a given because they lost this game that they're not a World Series team. It's a given that they don't play well against bad teams. When the first 2 months, all we heard is that's all they played well against. Make up your minds. I'm confused. First 2 months was the only thing they do is beat bad teams. Now they play down to their competition all the time, ever since Boone was manager. But 2 months ago, that's all they did was beat bad teams. And, you know, this is not, again, not for me, not even close to the worst loss of the year. It's not even close. With 2 outs and an opportunity to take the division lead against the Orioles in Baltimore right before the All-Star break, Anthony Volpe dropped the easiest ground ball I've ever seen. And then Verdugo fell down. Now, he got lazy in that moment, and he's never fell down before chasing a fly ball, so these things happen. But, like, that loss, I couldn't stop. And then it led right into the All-Star break. I thought about that loss for every day for a week. You're going to compare that? Because why? The White Sox are terrible? Yoshida hitting a home run off Clay Holmes when they were about to beat the Red Sox? That's... I can think of 3 Red Sox losses the Friday before they started to turn this around when they were up 7-4 and blew a game to the Red Sox in the bull. That loss was worse. Isn't that one of the worst losses of the year? I got, you know, I saw Sean Morass tweet, and whenever you have to preface a tweet by saying, you know, I know a lot of people think these are hot takes, then you know it's a hot take. But in his life, this is the most embarrassing loss of his Yankee fan life. To have Juan Soto and Aaron Judge and to lose by 10 runs to the White Sox is the most embarrassing loss of his life. Well, let me just say this, because I'm the Cashman guy, right? And I'm pissed at him right now because I don't think the bullpen's good enough, and I wish they would have added another arm at the trade deadline, and he didn't. But if you're a 40-year-old fan and you've been following baseball since the early 90s, and today's loss in the middle of August against the White Sox is the most embarrassed you've ever felt, that's a hell of a run, Brian Cashman. I mean, that's a week for the Mets or Knicks. I mean, you kidding me? That's a hell of a run, Brian Cashman. Congratulations. We finally hit our low point. a meaningless game for the most part against the White Sox as the Yankees had the best record in baseball heading in. That's it. Most embarrassed I've been in my 40 years on this planet. Ooh. May we all be so lucky to have such low lows. Let's get to the calls. Matt in Queens. What's up, Matt?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on, bud?
It's just, I'm like watching these games, and it's from like an Oriole fan perspective, so I'm a third party. Mm-hmm. As much as I love watching the Yankees lose, it's just a matter of like, you want to see people at their best when you beat them, you know? And it's hard to see like watching the games now. It's like right. The effort is what is hard to watch. And it's like, it's Glaber. Now it's Verdugo.
Well, I don't think Verdugo. Like, I mean, I guess he did say he got lazy on a bunt, but I mean, he was diving all over the place. He threw a guy out at home plate. I didn't really have a problem watching the game until he told me he got lazy with a bunt. I didn't have a problem with Verdugo's effort watching the game.
Yeah, I don't think it was an effort. I'm not saying like effort watching the game. It's more just that mentality when you're willing to say you get lazy during the game.
Yeah.
It's like, it's really hard to beat those allegations of like a Boone Country Club kind of thing. Mm-hmm. If this is what people are feeling comfortable to admit in public. And I don't know how you fix it other than like some kind of shakeup after the year. Cause you can't do some massive shakeup now.
Yeah, well, you could bring in Jason Dominguez, who he's not hitting right now in the minors since he's come back, but you could bring up him and play him in left field instead of Verdugo. I mean, you could do something along those lines. You could, but I hear what you're saying, but listen, you better make sure the Yankees don't feel the same way watching you guys play baseball, because it hasn't been exactly good.
How my team's playing. We're not playing. I fully understand that my team's not playing well at all, and I would hope that Yankee fans feel the same way. If we're not playing up to standards, like, yeah, we beat them, but like, great, they played like garbage. We didn't beat them at their best. I want to, like, the competitions, you want to beat some other team you're feuding with or neck and neck.
I hear you. That's why I still want, and thank you for the call. I get you. I still want that. What you're saying exactly is why I was rooting for the Astros last year and why I want them now. I didn't want some other team to, you know, I didn't want the Astros to lose in the first round and feel like the end of an era. I want the Astros strong and I want to beat them. I'm totally with you. This is not one of those games. I think it's an ugly loss. And you're frustrated, and so you look at it and you go, oh my God, just a bunch of they don't care, lifeless bums. I didn't see lifeless bums last night. I really didn't. Maybe you did. I saw guys who couldn't hit in the clutch. That's what I saw. I saw 11 walks and 9 hits. I mean, we have seen lifeless performances from this Yankee team. 9 hits? That's not lifeless. There's plenty of words for that loss. Lifeless really isn't one. They threw 2 runners out at the plate. Verdugo's diving all over the place. Like, they played poorly, and they miserably could not come through with a big hit. 2 for 18 is almost impossible on one evening. 2 for 18. But it wasn't lifeless. You can't have 20 runners on base and call it lifeless. It wasn't. John in Levittown. What's up, John?
Hey, how you doing? Good evening. So,
good.
So, I just wanted to check in. I completely agree with you, basically, on the basis, you know, where these guys, you know, they're not fully underperforming. It wasn't like a throwaway game, but at the same point, it seems to be in a line of bad losses. You know, like you brought back with the Red Sox earlier, and it's just honestly too many games that they've given away to count.
Yeah,
and it's just, if this is supposed to be quote unquote from so many of Yankee fans, you know, myself being one.
Yeah,
you know, if this is supposed to be the championship year, bust or not. You know, then how are you gonna develop into that team when you have this much going on? You know.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a matter of playing better. Like, that's it. Like, I heard Keith mentioning the Arizona Diamondbacks. The Arizona Diamondbacks came into Yankee Stadium last year when the Yankees were awful and lost 2 of 3. And the Texas Rangers, look at their bullpen numbers in September. They were the worst bullpen. They blew the division. They led the division all year. And in the last 2 weeks, the Astros came up and caught them from behind and took the division. And they were forced to go play the wild card in Tampa Bay after leading the division all year. And the bullpen couldn't get anybody out. And then there they are winning the World Series. Like, I'm sorry, I haven't seen anything from the New York Yankees that tells me they cannot win the World Series or that something is going on here where they cannot win. Like, it's just, they might not end up winning. I'm not saying they will. What I'm saying is I don't know what you've seen that I have, that we didn't see from the Diamondbacks last year, that we didn't see from the Rangers last year, that we didn't see from the Phillies who had to fire their manager before they got to the World Series. Like, the idea that the Yankees can't turn it on or play well enough to get to, when you're talking about already as bad as they've been, having the best record in Major League Baseball heading into the day. Like
my thing is so, like, I completely agree. Like I said, you know, that they're a tale of two teams. They can play down or quote unquote play down, but when they're good, they're unbeatable, basically. But the one thing I disagree with you with, a statement you made earlier, was that, you know, tonight it doesn't hurt as much because it seems like a meaningless game. To me, it's not a meaningless game just because, any given day, anyone can go out and beat any other team, but when the White Sox are as bad as they are, you know, you're not writing them off. But this is where you're meant to try and make up the ground, to pull ahead, to make sure you don't find yourself.
Absolutely. And when I was saying meaningless, it was under the context of the idea that this is the most embarrassing thing I felt as a Yankee fan, as a 38-year-old guy, which I believe Marash is around 38, 39. Like, I mean, in the scheme of a Yankee lifetime, it's a relatively meaningless game. It's not meaningless for this season. It's not meaningless for this stretch of baseball right now. It's very meaningful. But if I'm going to look over the course of my lifetime as a Yankee fan since 1993 and deem this, that's when I started watching the Yankees, and deem this the most embarrassed I'd ever been, I think it's fair to say, well, I mean, let's use the word obscure as opposed to meaningless. But, like, that's where I'm the most embarrassed. An obscure game in August against the White Sox. But, yeah, no, I do think it's meaningful. And you're right. The homestand was important. 5-4, I was killing them yesterday for it. You can't go 5-4. You can't go 5-4 on that homestand against those three lousy teams. And you certainly can't start this series off with a plethora of opportunities to break the game open in the first 3 or 4 innings and come up small in every spot. Like, yeah, unacceptable. No one's saying any different. I'm just saying that, like, the idea that because what happens is we're angry and we're super focused on just the Yankees. And the Yankees haven't been playing well. Totally agree. But the idea that we have seen something or there's an inert flaw inside this team where they can't do what the Diamondbacks did last year, or they can't do what the Rangers did last year. What happened to the Rangers this year? Why isn't Garcia having the same kind of year? Why are they under 500? And why did they blow the seat? Why did they blow the division last year and then get hot to win a World Series? Like, it's just, there's no rhyme or reason. They have to, the best teams get there, the hottest teams win. You got a problem with that? Take it up with Derek Jeter. And there's no question the Yankees are one of the best teams in this league. They've been not that for 2 months, and they're still right there. They're as good as Cleveland. They're as good as Baltimore. They're as good as Seattle. They're as good as the Astros. Now, will they play as well as them in the postseason? That's yet to be seen. And if you go strictly on what we've seen recently, this group in particular doesn't play its best. And coming up small in every clutch big spot in this game doesn't make me feel good about it right now, of course. But I think we're taking way too much out of one loss. Other than, I hated that comment from Verdugo, and there's no doubt there is a lack of getting angry at losses. There is a lack of urgency. That's just fair, because it's true. Right? It is the comments from Verdugo. We've heard the comments from other players too. Like, the idea that he would sit there and tell you, it's not even so much that he said it. Right? It's two for me. It's not even so much that he said it. It's one, that he actually did it. That he got lazy in that moment. There's times where I could understand over the course of 162, you get lazy. Not with two runners on in a game against the worst team in Major League Baseball, where you know everyone, you're the New York Yankees. Everyone's going to be all over you. You lose one of these games. The team has come up small. Now, to his credit, he does get on base in the first two innings. He's been a part of the people on base not being driven in, not the other way around up until that point. But he comes up in the fourth inning with two guys on after the team had already done what it's done and come up small in those spots. And he sort of bunts. He's not sure what to do, and he gets lazy on it and pops it up. And he says all of that so cavalierly while he's also saying, you know, I never pop up bunts. So, you know, these things happen. He's got to be a hell of a lot more pissed off at himself than he was in that moment. Unless that's the kind of guy he is and he manifests his own anger by laughing it off and those people exist. In which case, either way, it's just a bad look. It's just a bad look. And then he's asked if, you know, this was a wake-up call or something, which I think some of the wording is always, some of these questions, it's always in the wording. Like a wake-up call, that's an easy no. Right, you're giving Verdugo an easy no, but not wake up call. We know all these games are important. Like, it's an easy no to use the term wake up call, because no one's going to admit, yeah, this is a wake up call. Like, we were sleeping. To say wake up call indicates we were sleeping. So why would anyone want to say yes to this is a wake up call? Like, that question is not designed necessarily, because I don't think it's necessarily the intention. But when you ask a question, is this a wake up call? No one's going to say, yep, we've been sleeping. This is a wake up call. Like, is this game more frustrating because of how bad they are? Is this? But when you preface it with, is this a wake-up call? Like, who's going to say yes to a wake-up call? I thought the same thing in the Boone press conference when he's asked about the Verdugo bunt. He's asked about the Verdugo bunt, and he's asked, hey, did you call the Verdugo bunt? Did he do it on his own? He's never going to throw his player under the bus because he knows how bad that bunt looks. If you worded, hey, do you think that's a good play to bunt there? Maybe he gives you an answer on the bunt and whether or not he thinks it's a good play, and you can insinuate whether or not he called the bunt or Verdugo called the bunt. But if you're going to sit there and go, hey, who called that bunt, you or your player? He's not going to answer it. Now, I'm not trying to tell these guys who to do their job. They're excellent at their jobs. I'm just saying I'm going to try and give Verdugo a slight benefit of the doubt while I'm killing him. Because the answer of, no, it's just another team. It's no big deal. It's just another game where we end up on the wrong side. See if you can get that quote, too. I don't know if anybody put Verdugo sound in the system. I want to just get that. I'll get it during the break. But that answer bothers the hell out of me, too, if you've read the quotes on Twitter. He's asked, you know, is losing to this team a wake-up call? And he goes, no. You know, it's just another game. It's just another team. It's just another game where we ended up on the wrong side of it. We got to do better scoring runs. I think the idea that he was asked about a wake-up call, no one's going to want to say yeah, because that indicates we've been sleeping. Nobody's going to admit they've been sleeping. But to freely admit, hey, I was lazy with that punt, in the most critical point of the game, that bothers me. I was actually driving in. I didn't see it. You know, I was watching the game pretty much as soon as Boone's press conference ended in the postgame. I got in my car and drove here. You know, Keith read the quote, and I was like, wait, what did he say?
And I thought maybe he said it differently. Maybe it sounds differently than the way Keith read it. But no, Keith pretty much nailed it. He was so cavalier in saying, yeah, I gave up an at-bat right in the middle of the game. With the game on the line. Gave it up. 888-808-1019. And I'm look, the game gets ugly by, you know, they're down 10 runs. They lose by 10. That's the manager doing the right thing. I hate to tell you that. The reason that game got out of hand is because he brought in a reliever, not intentionally to give up runs, but at that moment he thought he was still doing a thing that could save the game. But once, you know, Santos comes in, De Los Santos comes in and starts getting hit around and gives up 2-3 runs, now there's nothing you could do. Now you leave him in there. He throws as many pitches as he can. He's trying to protect the bullpen. Tomorrow's game, you got Nestor Cortes on the mound. He might go 3-4 innings. He can't get through the lineup 2-3 times. You need a bullpen tomorrow. You can't compromise tomorrow to try and cling to a four-run lead, a four-run deficit, excuse me. You just can't. Can't. He left him out there to throw. He's probably going to get DFA'd today, and that'll even further make us feel good about this trade deadline when one of two relievers that they traded for at the deadline gets cut 2 weeks later. But he overextended him because he needed to save everybody else in the bullpen. That's why they're down 10. I'm not saying that's acceptable. I'm not saying we shouldn't feel bad about losing by 10. I'm just saying, you know, the Yankees no longer tried to stop the score. They didn't care how much they lost by. And if you think they should, I disagree with you. They shouldn't care. Tomorrow, that game is over. They need to figure out how to win tomorrow. And the best way to figure out how to win tomorrow is Santos throw as many pitches as he can and save the bullpen. Plain and simple. Because tomorrow, Nestor Cortes is on the mound in his biggest start of the year, bar none. This is the guy who went out there and put out the tweet, talked about everybody wants to be us. Everybody, we're contending. Well, you're playing a team who's not contending. You're playing a team who's nowhere near the class of the New York Yankees. And they just took you out behind the woodshed in game one, and you're the difference standing there between getting really embarrassed and losing two in a row. Because you want to talk about embarrassed, I don't care about scores. You lose two out of three of this team, you get swept by the White Sox. Now we're talking embarrassing. Now we're talking embarrassing. If they come back and win the next two games, I forget this one. You might not. I get some people get upset. If they win these two games, they played the White Sox six times, they won five games. You move on. Tomorrow is an enormous game for the New York Yankees. 888-808-1019. 888-808-1019. So, yeah. Yankees with an ugly loss. We'll get into the Hassan Riddick situation in the New York Jets as he has still not shown up for camp. He has now demanded a trade, his second one, in just a few months. The Jets did the only thing they could do and came out and said they will not trade him. And it's just a weird situation that... You want to know why the Jets need to win? I've talked about this a lot. The Jets need to win because when things like this happen, now I'm not saying that this would happen to every other team, and I'm not saying it's a good situation, and I'm not saying the Jets are void of any wrongdoing or any, you know, stupidity, for lack of a better term. But when you're the Jets and you have lost the way you have lost for 13 consecutive years, nobody is going to give you the benefit of the doubt. Nobody's going to say, hey, they had an understanding. They made the trade for him anyway. All they said was, hey, come show up to camp and we'll talk new deal. He doesn't want to show up. No one cares. The Jets are stupid. The Jets should have recognized this was a problem. The Jets should have had a contract already, you know, wink, wink, done before they even made the trade. That's the narrative because they're the Jets. And until they win, that narrative is going to stay in place, and until they win, the narrative is going to be accurate.